Welcome in. It's Betting Last Stand, show number 148, coming to you from the Ponder and Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a lovely fall day. A little rain, a little chill in the air, a little wind, my kind of day. We got fall taking place all over the world, finally, and right here in Wheeling, we decided to join the party. So good to be back with you here on another week of Bettors Last Stand, getting you ready for an action-packed football weekend. Thanks for being a part of our Football Fridays here on the Watchdog. Of course, we got three games in action tonight right here on the Watchdog Network. Wheeling Central host Brashear, Pennsylvania, in their final regular season game of the season for the Maroon Knights. You can hear that one on WKKX. And on WatchdogNetwork.com over on WVLY will be the John Marshall Monarchs taking on Fairfield Union out of Ohio. They make the trip over there and should be an interesting clash tonight on WVLY and WatchdogNetwork.com. And then Wheeling Park will be taking on Steubenville right here on the Watchdog Network. Stream only on that one, so check those all out. 7 o'clock coming your way. After us, it'll be the pregame show here in the Watchdog Studios, and then your game will follow. We'll send you out to the game that you want to listen to. You can go to WatchdogNetwork.com for all the action all evening long. That's where you're going to want to be. All right, let's recap what we did last week here as we head into what is known as the sports equinox time of the year. We got a couple of weeks here where you got hockey, basketball, baseball, and football all going. The four major sports, at least in North America, soccer always going pretty much year-round. That is the number one sport in the world. But in North America, we're not as bright as some of the other people in the world. Maybe as far as our republic goes, we are, but our sports choices, maybe not so much. But sports equinox is upon us, one of the best times of the year. You got a little bit of everything. So if you're into sports, this is your time of year. You're going to find something you like out there, no doubt about it. And we found something we liked last week, 28.05. So we're up over 28 units, just over 28 units and a nickel here last week on the show. So a strong week for us, mostly spurred on by the win by Chase Briscoe in NASCAR. You could found him anywhere between 25 and 30 to 1 last week as he wins a really nice race at Talladega. Cash is a big ticket for us there. So we're happy to be in the green because of Chase Briscoe. We were 9-11 in college football, now 79-78-3 on the season. 49%, so we dipped back down a little bit. We had been on a pretty good run the last 2 weeks. Started out pretty good, but faltered late on Saturday. NFL, maybe our best week of the year, 10-5 in our best bets that we told you right here on the show. Two of the games that we really, really like were the New York Giants. We liked them a lot. We liked the Arizona Cardinals, and we liked the 49ers. All three of those get there, and really two of the three blew the game and didn't win outright. Obviously, San Francisco, they might have went off a 1-point dog, I think, but they won the game handily against Atlanta, as we said they would. So our three best bets last week all come through for us. Should have been a 3-0 sweep straight up, but didn't work out that way. Some shenanigans that we'll talk about a little bit later in the program when we recap some bad beats. If you're a Giants fan, if you're a Giants better, if you had the Giants in any type of advancement scenario, you've got to be sick. But 10-5, 48-46-1 on the season. We're at 50.05, so over the 50% mark. Got to get that going a little bit better. NASCAR again, the win with Briscoe. You can find him anywhere between 25 and 30 to 1. You could have pre-race. He was about 25 when we gave him out on the show, but then by Sunday morning he was 30 to 1. So hopefully you jumped on some of that action there. Soccer, 13-12-5 since the last show. Had some wraparound games yesterday in the Champions League. 47-26-9 since the middle of September. 58%, not as good as normal in soccer. Came back down a little bit. We were over 500, but we're gonna try to make some headway in that. We were 6-3-1 in our Champions League plays yesterday with a couple of nice plus price winners, and looking pretty solid so far today with several games on the docket going on right now. Hopefully we can get a few of these games that are goalless to pick up a touch, but not a bad start. World Series is upon us. We have the scenario set here. Well, you knew that that Seattle probably was going to be in some trouble. They let some games get away, in my opinion. They go back home up 2-0 and can't finish the deal. They lose to the Blue Jays in a Game 7 the other night. Devastating loss. George Springer home run late gets the job done for the Blue Jays. So now the Blue Jays will host the Dodgers here in the World Series. Dodgers opening this up around, you can find anywhere between 215. I saw some 212, some 213s, all the way up to 220 on the Dodgers to win the series. They do not have home field advantage, but people don't seem to care. You can find Toronto around plus 165, 170 range there. Dodgers to win this in a sweep 5-1. Dodgers to win in 4 plus 325. Dodgers to win in 6 plus 350. Dodgers to win in 7 plus 450. Blue Jays on the other side of that. Blue Jays to sweep 14-1. Blue Jays to win 4-1, 11-1, 7-1 on 4 games to 2 in favor of the Blue Jays in 4-3. Blue Jays is 6-1. I hate to say it. I would like to make a case for the Blue Jays in this series to at least make it go, you know, 6 games, but I'm really not certain this will even get to 5 games. I really don't know. There's a goal for Real Madrid finally on the board. Looks like Jude Bellingham cleans up Vini's post shot. 1-0 Real Madrid over the old lady in Juventus. So I just can't make a strong case. I mean, the way the Dodgers pitching staff, the starters, were in that last series, it's just going to be hard to beat them. Now, I will think game one should be an under. I'm not sure who Toronto's going to throw. That is tonight here. By the time you hear this, you will know if it's either going to be Yes Savage or Kevin Gausman. I'm kind of against what most people are thinking, go with Gausman, the veteran here, but I might try to steal game one from the Dodgers in thinking that the only way I can win this series is to try to win this first game and get you Savage before the Dodgers have some time to settle in. Now, they're going to be rusty coming back off of a long break for them. Toronto played 7 games. Dodgers were done in 4, so you have a long layoff. Now, the Blue Jays haven't played since Monday, so that's going to be a little bit of layoff for them, but the Dodgers have a really long layoff, and as we've seen from time to time in this baseball, that the longer you're off, the more rust you have coming back. So I would expect the Dodgers to be a little rusty. So I may throw the youngster, Yu Savage, who they've never really seen before, and there's not a ton of tape out there on him. So I would probably go with a guy who they've never got a look at to just hope that I could maybe steal game one somehow. I would imagine there's not going to be more than a few runs in this with Blake Snell going, who's just been absolutely dazzling for the Dodgers. Dodgers about minus 150 in game one, plus 125 on the Blue Jays, who have not named a starter at this point. 7.5 is the total. Juice to the under at minus 120. I mean, I would lean under in this game only because of the rust factor. I think both teams may be coming a little bit rusty. Toronto's just going to be really excited to be here, I think. But they're going to be serious, but I'm not certain they're going to be dialed in quite yet, and I don't think the Dodgers will be either. So I would go with the youngster in this spot. I doubt they do. I bet they'll go with Gausman, thinking they can maybe get at least another start out of him in game 5 to maybe where they're facing the brink of elimination and they want the veteran out there at Dodger Stadium at Chavez Ravine. But that's just my opinion. I would go with the guy that they haven't seen to just hope you could catch him on their heels and rusty and maybe steal game one and give yourself a little bit of a chance. But I would speculate the Dodgers win this in 5 or 6 games. MVP market, a little bit interesting to me. Otani, obviously the landslide leader in this, plus 160. I can't bet that. Freddie Freeman won it last year, and he's 8-1. George Springer, 10-1. Vlad Guerrero, 6-1. All worthy causes, but you got to win this series. Teoscar Hernandez and Mookie Betts both interest me a little bit, 16-1 and 22-1. The Dodgers have a lot of guys that could get it done here, and if you have some things break your way where they win this in a sweep or something, and you have one of these guys hits a couple of game-winning homers or something, which could easily happen. I think that they're live. Even Will Smith, 34-1, I don't think is a terrible bet. I don't think Muncy at 30-1 is a terrible bet either. So, Kike Hernandez, that's a bit of a stretch. I don't know if he'll get enough ABs, but those are the guys I'd be interested in. I'm not going to play Otani. And Freeman at 8-1, I mean, he can be very solid, so I can't talk you off that if you wanted to do it, but unfortunately, I think this will be a shorter series, but the Blue Jays have had a great year, and Dodgers are just really, right now, just clicking on all cylinders. NBA, don't talk a lot about it, and I'll give you one really good example why. It opened up last night, season full of games here on Wednesday and Friday and into the weekend, but already load management. Now, you haven't even played a game yet, and the New York Knicks are resting Mitchell Robinson and Josh Hart in their opening game, which is on national TV, and I don't really care about the national TV narrative. I just think it's absurd. It just didn't happen years ago, and we have more injuries now than we've ever had in sports, and it's not because of load management. It's because of stupidity. So the NBA is an awful product. If you want to bet it, this is not the show for you. Sorry. I will give you out trends from time to time and observations and things like that. It's not that I don't follow it. I do not enjoy following it at all. I think it's just absolute trash. Watching it is really, really difficult. And I can't give you an honest assessment of the teams, whereas I can in the other sports because I actually watch those games, as troubling as some of those might actually be to watch. But enough NBA talk here. Let's move on to something I do like, and that is the NHL. Got some trends, but nothing major yet. Period trends coming up. I'll probably have those for you next week. It's just a little bit early still. But some teams who are off to good starts. Carolina, we talked about them. They're a division winner in the Metro, 5-1. Avalanche, 5-0-2. VGK, 5-0-2. Winnipeg, 5-1. Detroit, 5-1. Montreal, 5-1. The Devils, all those other teams we were pretty high on. New Jersey, we were not. So 5-1. Did watch New Jersey a lot last night against Toronto, and they look okay. Right now, we'll see when the wear and tear of the season starts to catch up with them. That's when New Jersey will start to struggle. When you're fresh and everything's easy out of the gate and teams haven't caught on to some of the things that you've done differently this year, then maybe you could take some people by surprise, but I'm not buying New Jersey at all. I don't think they're tough enough to do a whole lot. The Rangers, 6-2 to the under so far. Chicago Blackhawks, 5-2 to the under. Colorado Avalanche, 5-2 to the under. 5-2 to the over teams, Ottawa, Toronto, and the New York Islanders. So keep an eye on those as we push into our third week of the NHL. And it's good to have it back. Penguins playing good hockey right now, no doubt about that, as they've surprised so far. Well-structured team to this point, and you got to like what you're seeing. Although I don't know if it's going to do them any good for the future. They probably would be better off having a bad losing season, but doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. All right, let's go over to some racing. We got both racing circuits in action once again. The F1 group stays in North America after the U.S. Grand Prix last week, where Max Verstappen continues his run. He's won three out of the last four races, and he is now coming for the McLarens. Verstappen has it down to just 40 points. He's just 40 behind Oscar Piastri, sorry, I couldn't think of the name. 40 behind, that's all. I mean, he's coming right now for Oscar Piastri and the McLarens. And I don't think McLaren's got an answer right now. So Verstappen, red hot. You can find him to win the driver title, plus 130. A few weeks ago on the show, I was the first to admit, I said, well, McLaren's got this locked up. They're going to win the constructor title, which I believe they've already clinched. And they're going to win the driver title. It's just a matter of which one. And I thought Piastri, after he had edged Norris out, I don't know, that's probably going on late August, early September. He had a nice run where he held off Lando Norris to win. Norris had mechanical issues, and I thought the gap was too big. Well, it wasn't too big for Verstappen, as he now has got it down to a very tight, manageable 40 points. And you got Mexico this week. You got Sao Paulo and Brazil the following week. Then it's Vegas. Then it's Qatar and Abu Dhabi to finish out the season. So you got five races left, and Max Verstappen at plus 130, very, very live to win this title. He's now favored to win it, 40 points behind Piastri, who's plus 185. Lando Norris, I give no shot to, at 2-1. But the McLarens, if you're the constructors right now, the McLarens, and you're the team, you've really got to, the team principal's got to be sweating bullets right now, because you've let this get away. Really inexcusable how Red Bull's caught up to you in the middle of the season like this. But we'll see. It should make for some interesting stuff over the next few weeks. Again, Verstappen leads all 56 laps last week at the Circuit of the Americas here in the United States Grand Prix. So got to tip your cap. Sometimes you just tip your cap to somebody when they're better than you. And right now, Max Verstappen is better than everybody. Last year's Mexican Grand Prix was won by Carlos Sainz. That won't be the case this year, as he's now on a different team. So Ferrari took it down. Sainz led 63 laps. Verstappen did lead 8. Prior to that, Verstappen had won the previous 3 races here in Mexico. This is one of his favorite tracks. The Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez circuit in Mexico City. He led 59 laps 2 years ago. Charles Leclerc from Ferrari did lead 12 in that race. The year prior to that, he led 61 laps. And Lewis Hamilton, who was driving for Mercedes at that time, led just 5 of the laps in that one. So Verstappen, to me, looks like he has got a stranglehold on this right now. He's running incredibly well. He's plus 135. When Red Bull gets hot like this, it's hard to go against them, and I can't make a case for it. Right now, he is the hot hand. This is a track he's dominated at, And I don't see any reason to not go with him here. It's just stunning turn of events. The speed that the Red Bulls have gained over the last month and a half is just amazing, how they've now not just cut into the McLaren edge, they've surpassed them. And McLaren looks stale and stagnant and just okay. And they've got to respond here. McLaren still minus 125 to win this race as a team, whereas Red Bull is plus 125, same odds pretty much as Verstappen, because the other car has just got no shot at all in this race. But, you know, I really have to say that if you're betting Max Verstappen this week, I still think you're getting a little bit of value. I just there's no one right now in his realm. I mean, he's back to what he was doing a few years ago. And, I mean, even Yuki Tsunoda did finish in the top 10 last week for Red Bull. But, I mean, that's a sign that their cars are getting better. So, look out. This could be a Red Bull all the way. A double top six for Ferrari was a little bit interesting to me, minus 120 for that one. Will there be a safety car? I think that's a really good one. And that's one that I don't recommend parlays very often. But this lap, this track has had crashes, serious crashes, the last three or four installments, and I don't see any reason why that will change here. Minus 190 on the safety car. I don't recommend playing things at that price straight, which I don't like parlaying either, but put that with something that you feel pretty comfortable about, your favorite soccer bet on Sunday morning, or an NFL bet, even if it's a money line of a team that's a pretty good favorite. Put it together, get a little bit better price. Probably a good chance a safety car will appear in Mexico, but going with Max, don't see any reason not to. The other play would be the Ferraris, but we'll look at qualifying and practice and see how things transpire there, and have the plays posted at BLS_PRP, where you can find all of our plays. And if you missed some of the soccer plays that we put up there last week that didn't make the show because we didn't have the information yet, be sure, hopefully you got those. We had a good day yesterday. Hopefully we finish it out with a good one today. NASCAR, here we go. We got two races left. Last week's race at Talladega, very, very exciting. Chase Briscoe cashes for us here on Bettors Last Stand at 30-1. Great job by him getting the job done at Talladega. He leads 16 laps. You had a lot of guys contending here. Todd Gilliland runs second. We also had him. So two nice prices there. He also had Brad Keselowski in the top 10. Those were our three cars. Some cars that had bad luck: Justin Haley, Ricky Stenhouse, on down the line, Austin Cindric, who's had no luck recently. So Talladega, not for the faint of heart, but a very nice job by Chase Briscoe. We told you his plate product was getting better. Martin Truex was improving towards the end of his career when he retired, and that 19 hasn't missed a beat. These super speedway cars that they're putting out there, they're starting to really come of age. I mean, they're really starting to contend, and they did there. It was a wonderful job by him in the late stages to get that victory. So now we go to the biggest track. We go from the biggest track at Talladega last week to one of the very smallest tracks in our little tiny speedway that's shaped like a paperclip, and it's called Martinsville. It is about just over a half mile, tiny little paperclip-shaped track. And I tell you, it's been really, really good racing over the years. I looked Toyota, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Ford, Chevy. They've flipped, inverted the last six races. So one of those three have won each of the last three sequences. So I think it was earlier this spring we had, I believe, Denny Hamlin went to victory lane. Yes, Denny Hamlin was in victory lane back in the spring here. But prior to him, it was Ryan Blaney and a Ford. So it was Denny Hamlin and a Toyota, Ryan Blaney and a Ford, and then the one before that, William Byron in a Chevrolet. And then it went the same way again. It was Toyota, Ford, Chevrolet. So this has been very even. You got a lot of drivers who are in contention here. And let's start with the guys who are in the playoff chase. You got Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin already punching their ticket to the final race at Phoenix to win the championship. They have a shot. Chris Bell is in third right now on points. Kyle Larson is in fourth. William Byron, 36 points behind Kyle Larson for the last spot. Joey Logano, 38 points behind Larson for the final spot. Ryan Blaney, 47 points behind. And Chase Elliott, 62 points behind. Some bad luck for Blaney and Elliott, but they're very, very live here at this race. I would tell you the four guys on the outside looking in right now would be my four top plays in this race. Chris Bell, pretty good. He's in third. I think he gets tracked down. Kyle Larson, same situation. Desperation is in the air. You got Denny Hamlin, 5-1 to win this race. He doesn't need it. Kyle Larson does need it. I would say he could possibly get in on points. He's plus 550. Ryan Blaney, 4-1. Has to win to get into this thing or have massive chaos where these other guys all DNF, and that's going to be very hard to do here on a track this small. So Blaney, 4-1. William Byron, 8-1. I think he got some good value with him. He needs this race really badly. Chris Bell, 6.5-1. He's safely in at this point, but a lot can change. You don't want to have to bank on points to get you in. There would be one guy getting in on points. The other guy has to win the race. Chase Elliott, 6.5-1. He is desperate. He's got to have this. Joey Logano, 8.5-1. He's got to have it. I'm going to start right now by saying I think a Chevy wins this. I like a Chevy or a Hendrick car. If you can find the Hendrick team price, I haven't seen that yet. Chevy to win plus 140. My next choice would be Ford, because if a Chevy doesn't win, I think Ryan Blaney wins this or Joey Logano wins this, both driving Fords for Roger Penske. So I'm going to take a shot with Joey Logano around 8.5-1. I like William Byron at 8-1. Chase Elliott, if I can find him above 7, I'm going to take a shot with those three guys. Ryan Blaney, tad too short. He's got an 8.5 career average here. He's been outstanding. I mean, it's hard to go against him. It's just such a short price. But if you're the kind of person that parlays this stuff with NFL games or something, then maybe you want to take a shot with that. He's got two wins here. He's really, really good. He's got the best average of any current driver on the circuit. Longer shot guys, Ross Chastain, 28-1. He's had a good car here many times. I like what he can do. He could play spoiler here. Alex Bowman's won here before. He's at 40-1, so I think he's got a shot. And also look at a guy like Todd Gilliland, who's got an 18.1 average here. He's only started, made 7 starts, but he's got 2 top 10s in those 7 starts. He's done pretty well. He started pretty well here. He started around an average of 16 spots, so he's had good cars when he's come to Martinsville. So I think that Todd Gilliland is a little bit live to be a potential spoiler, or just really a guy that can run in the top 10. So Gilliland, Chastain, and Bowman are my longer-priced guys. Byron, Logano, and Elliott are the guys I'm really focusing on. Obviously, Blaney would be, if I had to have a gun to the head and I had to pick a winner, it would be Ryan Blaney, but I can't bet him at that low of a price. So Byron, Logano, and Blaney, and Elliott all need this really badly. How do they make this work? Can they surpass Bell and Larson? One of them's got to win. The other one can get in on points. So I don't know how they're going to do it. But if I had to bet on who was going to win the title at this point, it would be one of those four guys. Whoever gets in out of those four guys in that the cut line there. So they're all desperate. Byron, Logano, Blaney, or Elliott, I think, will be your champion. I think that when you race in desperation mode in a race like this, it's going to carry over into the final race. So I like those guys to get it done this week and then get it done the following week out there in Phoenix. But great racing. So check out Martinsville on Sunday afternoon. You got the F1 race in Mexico, and you got the NASCAR guys in Martinsville. Just two races left on a very, very exciting season. Again, cashed last week with Briscoe. Let's hope we can do it again. We're not going to get a price like that unless, I guess, Bowman or Chastain come through for us. All right, Bad Beats here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 148, coming to you here from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for a Football Friday action here on the Watchdog Network. You have the pregame show coming up after us here on Bettor's Last Stand. Then we'll take you out to your game. It'll be either Wheeling Park at Steubenville on Watchdog Network. It'll be Central hosting Brashear in the final game of the regular season for the Maroon Knights. That one on WKKX, streaming at WatchdogNetwork.com. And then it'll be John Marshall at Fairfield Union, Ohio. That one on WVOY and streaming at WatchdogNetwork.com. You can hear all the action right here. We'll have the halftime show for you, keep you apprised of all the scores up and down the river here on our final regular season night in Ohio, in our second to, actually, we've got two more after this for West Virginia with the 11-week play date schedule. All right, Bad Beats. Let's talk about those. There's really nothing worse than Brian Daboll and the Giants last week. Get this. NFL teams were a unbelievable 1,602-0. That's 16-02-0 when leading by 18 plus points with 6 minutes or less remaining in the game. Denver trailed 19-0 entering the fourth quarter of play. Scored 33 points to beat the Giants 33-32. I could go through all the scenarios and all the things that went wrong here. It'll make you vomit if you're a Giant bettor. Inexcusable. If you're an owner in sports and you were the owner of the Giants, and I say this, and it's very easy for me to sit here in a chair and tell people what to do, and you know, who am I to say this, but it's just simple logic. And if you have any wherewithal or idea, and it's just hard for me to imagine that these NFL owners who are ultra successful guys, they obviously had billions of dollars to be able to buy these franchises, or they inherited them from fathers or grandfathers that had billions of dollars at the time, or the equivalent, to have these franchises. And how you can stand mediocrity and how you can stand incompetence and just poor leadership, it really blows my mind. And I know it's probably more because they don't want to admit they're wrong, I would say. The egos on these guys, I guess, is probably pretty big. But how Brian Daboll has a job after that game is just amazing. I mean, and then you talk about the guy from the Dolphins, and then we identified last year how bad of a coach Brian Callahan was. I mean, we can sit here in Wheeling, West Virginia, and figure out who's good at coaching and who isn't. Not to say we're any better, but we can at least tell you who sucks. And Brian Daboll is terrible. That, to me, I don't care if the Giants would have won that game, because they almost did. Jackson Dart almost rescued them. They came down. They kicked the field goal to take the lead. They scored a touchdown with 30-some seconds left, and then Denver drove down and kicked the field goal to beat them. But I probably would have fired Daboll after the game, even if I would have won the game, because his team was just not – they were not led correctly by their leader in a situation where they have to figure out a way to win this game as young players. They're starting to learn. Yeah, they'll say, oh, well, there's nothing better than learning from that. Well, it would have been a much better lesson if you still would have won the game. You blew it. You blew everything. Dart rescued you. You drove down the field. You scored, and you won, and you saved yourself. Well, now you didn't, and now you got to carry this forever. One of the worst collapse, really, in NFL history. If you're going by the numbers, 16-0, 2-0, come on, that's just not. If you're the coach that was on the other side of that, the one of the 1,602 games, now 1,603 games, who was the loser in this scenario, you should resign. You should resign or be fired. And I can't take the Giants seriously, even though I think that they're getting better. We had them last week. It's frustrating, but they did cover at least. But it's inexcusable. You can't lose this game like this. The decisions that they made, the stupidity, why they had to score with 30 seconds left and not 10. They did everything wrong in the game, and you can't blame the young players. It's 100% on Brian Daboll. It's inexcusable. They missed two PATs in the game. They're throwing, up where it's getting kind of tight. They're having Dart throw over the middle of the field. I mean, just idiotic decisions. Denver seen in play as high as 60-1. But enough of that game. Just a sickening loss there. The NHL has reached a licensing agreement with Predictive Marketing Companies. We've talked about them many times. Kalshi and Polymarket. That's boosting their efforts for these companies to kind of disrupt the sports book operators and, you know, the way that sports betting has gone on for years and years. This is definitely different, as these are basically commodities trading. You're basically stock market trading on sports, and these companies continue to grow and start to put products out there and get involved with these particular leagues, which is pretty exciting if you ask me. I think you should have both options, and that's pretty neat. At least nine sports books in 13 states and one Canadian province detected the same unusual betting activity from this story that we talked about many times here. The college basketball situation last winter, from December through January, they were getting weird patterns of gambling. And you had gamblers betting on small college basketball teams. The investigation ended up discovering some things where there were some ties between some betting syndicates, like people that were giving out this info, selling it to people, like legit business to a degree. But if you're getting stolen information or tainted information, then it becomes illegitimate pretty quickly. But services were selling this stuff, people were buying it, and you had plays coming in there. The teams that were involved, of course, Eastern Michigan, Temple, New Orleans, North Carolina A&T, Mississippi Valley State, those were some of the ones mentioned in there. Some of these scenarios are crazy. One betting account, which was basically dormant, they said, had 9 bets, $300 a piece that they got in. Strange action. You start seeing 9 wagers of the exact same thing, like it wouldn't let them bet more than 300, so they bet it 9 times. That, in our business, is an immediate red flag. Even if you're not trying to do something wrong, that's an immediate red flag. Another book saw in Biloxi, Mississippi, saw somebody try to get down $20,000 against Mississippi Valley State in a first half when they were playing Tulsa. So somebody tried to bet $20K on Tulsa in the first half. That got rejected, so they ended up breaking it up and getting the money down in multiple different ways. But, yeah, those, again, that's a strange – if you saw someone come into my place, or I did, and saw – someone trying to get down $20K on a first half of some bad basketball game featuring Mississippi Valley State, it would immediately tell me something was up there. And I mean, it's hard to say. It'd be about a 1% chance that there wasn't some malfeasance going on there. So tough stuff there, and then we'll find more and more out about those in the coming days. Highest ticket counts in college football from last week. These turned out a little bit better, but some of them didn't. But some of them did. A little bit better overall than I expected. LSU, though, +1.5. You had 95% of the tickets on LSU. Loser. 95% on Texas Tech, -7. Loser. They lost outright. LSU lost outright. Tennessee, +8.5 against Bama, 94% on them, loss. 94% on Georgia Tech against Duke, that one good. 92% on Oregon against Rutgers, we were on the wrong side of that one. That was an absolute bloodbath. Oregon good there. USF -21 against FAU, 90% on USF, that one was good. We were not on that one. 88% on Temple, -11.5 against Charlotte, a winner. 88% on Florida State, -18.5 against Stanford. We told you that couldn't be right number. Stanford wins the game outright. 87% on Ole Miss, +7.5. Told you beware those public dogs. Not all of them, but some of them. Ole Miss, though, had that in total control. That was kind of a, I wouldn't call it a bad beat. That was more of a disintegration. But Ole Miss not to cover 7.5 there. Ew, that does sting a little bit. So they cannot hang on against Georgia. 80% on Mississippi State, +9.5 against Florida. I said last week, all the information would tell you bet Florida in that spot. Everyone was on Mississippi State. The number was moving in a weird way. You said Florida, Florida, Florida. Florida barely won the game. Napier, Sunbelt Billy out the door. That's a surprise. Talk about guys who are way out of their depth. 76% on USC, +9.5 against Notre Dame. That depends on what you got the number at. I saw some 10.5s out there late, so you might have got that. You might have got saved. This week's high ticket counts, 93% on Navy, -16 against FAU, 91% on Arkansas, -1 against Auburn, 86% on Houston, +7.5 against Arizona State, 86% on Alabama, -11.5 against South Carolina, 85% on Louisville this week, 25 is what they're laying against BC, 85% on SMU, -3.5 against Wake, 82% on App, +14.5 at Old Dominion, and 81% on UCLA, everybody's darling now, +25.5 against Indiana. Well, do you believe in the fired coach bump? Let's talk about that. Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, UCLA, Arkansas, Oregon State, Penn State, and UAB all terminated their coaches at one point this season. In their first game back after firing their coach, out of all those schools, the only one who didn't cover was Virginia Tech, who ended up covering a week later, though, winning a game outright, actually. But Oklahoma State covered in their first game without Gundy. UCLA covered in their first game without Foster, and on and on and on. Arkansas, Oregon State, Penn State, UAB all covered. So you had 5-1, that is, so far this year. 6-1. So 6 of the 7 coaches fired, the team is covered directly after that game. Colorado State fired their coach this week. They're +6 against Wyoming. Will it be Colorado State Ram time? Keep that in mind this week. College football ATS teams, best ones. Memphis now 6-1. They lost outright last week. Texas Tech, same thing, 6-1. Ohio State 6-0-1. NFL best teams against the spread, 5-2 teams. Indianapolis, the LA Rams, Detroit Lions, Carolina Panthers, New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks, the bad ones, Baltimore, 1-5. They didn't play last week, so they couldn't screw that up. 2-5 teams, New Orleans, Tennessee, and Las Vegas. NFL favorites to this point, 71-33-1 straight up, 54-51 ATS. Overs, 55-48. Strong week for the favorites this week. Was very, very bad in most capacity for the books. Lopsided ticket counts. For the NFL last week, 87% on New England, a winner. 82% on Philadelphia, a winner. 70% on Carolina, a winner. Seattle, 75% a winner. Indianapolis, 72% a winner. Green Bay, we did have the Cardinals here, 71% on Green Bay. That one was no good. All right, Let's talk about, let's talk one more tidbit from last week's games in the NFL. The Chiefs, they had 30 first downs in the game where they absolutely annihilated the Raiders. Could have probably beat them 60-0, took their foot off the throttle. They had 30 first downs in the game. The Las Vegas Raiders ran 30 total plays on offense. That is incredible. Kansas City outgained the Raiders 434-95. The Raiders 0-8 on third downs. That was just an absolute beating. The Raiders got some serious, serious problems. Maybe time for a quarterback change. Lopsided ticket count so far for the NFL heading into week number 8. 84% on the Falcons. Look out. 81% on Cincinnati. Look out. 81% on the 49ers plus 1.5. Yeah, be careful. 80% on Tampa minus 4.5. 79% on Buffalo again. Here we go with Buffalo. They haven't covered. They've lost outright two in a row. 78% on Indianapolis. Now, they're playing pretty well, but 14 is a massive number, and 73% on the Kansas City Chiefs. That's Chiefs have been pretty good. I mean, they've been picking it up. I think people judge them a little too soon, and it's starting to show that the Chiefs are serious contenders. All right, let's flip it on over here to some football talk here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 148, coming to you on the Watchdog Network from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for high school football action tonight. Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central, John Marshall, all in action right here on the Watchdog Network. Pregame show comes up next. Soccer recap for you. Soccer wasn't as good last week as it had been. We're on a 13-12-5 since last show. 47-26-9, though, since middle of September. Here's what we like in the EPL for the weekend. A couple other games in League One. Championships playing a weird schedule. They got some games Thursday and Friday, and then some teams come right back and play pretty quickly. So I don't have anything on that yet, but we'll have some plays up at BLS_PRP. Leeds and West Ham, last three over in the series, and 4 out of 5. Both teams not playing very well. West Ham lost 2-0 on Monday. They have not scored in 2 games. Brentford and Arsenal both shut them out. I would lean one thing in this game, and that would be Jared Bowen to score, and probably both teams to score. I think this is probably like a 1-1. I think eventually West Ham will actually score again, and it'll probably be Jared Bowen. So we're going to go BTTS in that one. Chelsea and Sunderland should be a good matchup for Chelsea. Chelsea playing very well in the Champions League today as they're crushing Ajax. This is kind of a similar opponent. Sunderland, they're not going to be able to travel well here. This is going to be a game where Chelsea just has so much better depth than Sunderland, and no matter what lineup they play, Chelsea should win this game at least 2-0. You can't really back Sunderland on the road. The teams haven't played since 2017, though, so no real form. I'll go Chelsea minus 1.25, probably the over 2 if you wanted to pair it up with something. I think they'll probably maybe score 3 goals themselves. Newcastle and Fulham. Newcastle slammed Benfica yesterday in the Champions League, and maybe, just maybe, this is a bit of a letdown spot. Fulham's lost 3 straight. Three out of 5 in this series have went over. Newcastle money line to me seems like the play. They're at home. They're very good at home. But I like the under a tad too. I don't love this game, but it'd be Newcastle and under or pass for me. Manchester United and Brighton, 3 out of 4 over in the series. Man U off a miracle win last week against Liverpool. Letdown spot here, if you ask me. They were very fortunate. Brighton has beat them the last two, and they've won the last 3 at Old Trafford. So Brighton on a good run against Man United. Brighton also unbeaten in their last 5. So it's Brighton money line for me. They're a good team. They're plus 230 here. I think it's a great price. I'll take Brighton. Brentford and Liverpool. Liverpool's lost 4 straight, but they're not going to be losing 4 straight by the end of today. They lead 5-1 over Frankfurt right now, so they're getting their groove back a touch here. They've won 5 in a row against Brentford. 4 of the last 5 have been under in this. I would probably lean slightly towards the under here. I think Liverpool will be happy about this win this week, but I think both teams score. I think this is like a 2-1 Liverpool-type win, so maybe the under isn't the play. Maybe it's both teams to score and under 3 if you can find it. Arsenal and Palace. Arsenal have been red hot. They've not allowed goal in 4 matches. Their defense has been stellar. They've won the last 7 against Palace. Last 4 have went over in this series. This is a pass for me. There was nothing that I really liked there. Villa and City. After a cold start, Aston Villa playing pretty good right now. They're unbeaten in their last 6 overall. Home teams won the last 5 in the series. 4 of the last 5 have gone over. So we're going to go with both teams to score and over in Villa and Manchester City. Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest. Bournemouth unbeaten in 6 overall. Forest have lost 4 straight. They haven't beat the Cherry since 2018. So I like Bournemouth at home here. Nice plus price, which you can find them at about plus 165, 55, somewhere in that range. That's a good price on Bournemouth. And we'll go with both teams to score because I do think Nottingham Forest will push a little bit and get a goal here. Wolves and Burnley. Burnley ended a six-game winless streak with a win over Leeds last week. Wolves, they haven't been very good. They've lost their last three. They've been terrible all year. Last five under in this series, so we're going to go with the under. Burnley's a dead under team. We'll go under 2.5 in Burnley and Wolves. And then Everton and Spurs, five of the last seven have gone over in this series, including the last two. The last two have had at least four goals in the game, so that might be a good sign. Spurs, though, right now, 0-0 against Monaco in the 90-plus 6 minute right now. So maybe the both teams to score is the way to go, but maybe not the over. So road team hasn't won in this series since 2020. I like Everton here. I think Spurs is starting to show some exhaustion. So give me Everton. I think they win this game maybe 2-1, something along those lines. Nothing in the championship, as we mentioned. We're going to take a stab with Watford, but they're playing tomorrow or tonight. So I'm going to pass on that. League One, Wimbledon and Burton. This is an interesting match. Wimbledon's unbeaten in their last seven overall, but haven't beaten Burton since 2017. The last four under in this series. So I like the under, and I'm going to lean Wimbledon in this one at home. Peterborough and Blackpool, nine of the last 10 have gone over. The one that stayed under, though, kind of a fluke. Last match, it was last year. 0-0 tie. I'm going to go over 2.5 here thinking that was a total fluke. Reading and Doncaster. Reading have not lost in their last 10 games against Doncaster. They're at home here. They're a decent price. Let's see, what is Reading? I had it marked down. Reading, plus 145. I think you got to take that. I think it's a good home price for Reading, a team that's dominated Doncaster, getting a nice plus price at home. And then Wycombe and Huddersfield, three out of the last four under. The last two matches were 1-0 wins for the road team, so we will go under 2.5 in Wycombe and Huddersfield. That's the soccer report here on Better's Last Stand. Now it's time to get into the other football, the pigskin type of football. We got 20 minutes to go here on the show, and it's time to dive into the card. I got to tell you, this card didn't do a whole lot for me in college football. There was not a whole lot here. California and Virginia Tech, this one a Friday night matchup, which is coming your way tonight. Golden Bears catching 4.5 on the road at Blacksburg. Wait till these people from Berkeley, California go down there and see those inbreds down there in Blacksburg. They're going to be in for a treat. The civilized, snobby Californians from Berkeley going to the really the one of the worst places on the earth, Blacksburg, Virginia. I like the under in this game, under 50. I think Cal's defense will travel well here. I think they'll control the tempo. I don't like Virginia Tech. I would play Cal if I had to pick a side here, but I like the under 50.5 in that one. Also, like another game under tonight, it's the Boise State Broncos in the Nevada Wolfpack. Eight out of the last 10 between these two have stayed under. 50.5 is the total here. Boise lays 21.5 on the road. I think the Wolfpack will try to slow this down and try to keep this game as close as they can, and I think that will lead to a nice under of 50.5. Next game on the docket, Virginia Cavaliers and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Virginia, 10.5-point favorite on the road at Bill Belichick, 51.5. 7-3 run ATS for the Virginia Cavaliers against the Tar Heels. It would be Virginia or pass for me, and I would lean to the under, but I got to stay away from these Belichick games. I can't really figure any of them out. Syracuse at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech lays 17.5, total 53.5. In this one, it opened 55.5. And is now down to 53.5. So a little bit of play on the under there. I don't trust the under with Syracuse's defense. Georgia Tech continues to prove me wrong. I thought they were a decent team. I didn't know they were that good. They had a nice win on the road at Duke against us last week. Ohio at Eastern Michigan. Ohio lays 12.5 now, up from the opener of 10.5. Saw some syndicates giving this out as an overplay. I looked into the numbers myself. I didn't love it. I didn't really see a whole lot there. But if you want to take someone else's opinion, go for it. 59.5 is the total. People are playing it over. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Ole Miss continues in this tough schedule spot. They got LSU. Then they have that bad performance against Washington State. Then it's Georgia on the road last week. It's Oklahoma on the road this week. Lane Kiffin, tough spot. He's catching 5.5 here, total 54. If you ask me to take the eye test here, I think Ole Miss is a little bit better than Oklahoma. I don't think Mateer's been very good, but I like this game under. I don't understand 54. I think both these teams' strengths are their defenses, and I think 54 is way too many points there in Norman. We'll go under 54 in that game. Rutgers at Purdue. Rutgers laying 2.5 on the road, 58.5. Liked Rutgers last week, they got humiliated. Like Purdue last week, they got humiliated. What, something's got to give here. I lean Purdue in this game, but we're going to pass. SMU at Wake Forest. This is a game where I saw some Wake Forest action coming in. They're plus 3.5 right now. Total's 54.5. I don't know what to make of it. SMU's okay, but this is a tricky spot for them. Wake Forest has played pretty well at home. South Florida at Memphis. South Florida lays 5 on the road. The total 63.5. Memphis got upset last week by UAB. They were looking ahead maybe to this spot. South Florida, we thought they were in a look-ahead spot, but they pounded FIU. They've lost 4 straight to Memphis. That is South Florida. I like Memphis here to bounce back, +5 at home. Give me the points with the home team. Northwestern at Nebraska. Nebraska -7, total 43. Absolutely told you last week, a week ago tonight, that Nebraska was going to have trouble with Minnesota, that Minnesota would have a great chance of winning that game outright, how they just dominated Nebraska over the years. I didn't understand that number laying 7.5 on the road. It made no sense to me. Right now, Northwestern, 7-3 ATS run against Nebraska. So they're in a good spot here. They're catching 7. I think Northwestern's actually better than Nebraska. The spot to me probably would dictate that Nebraska would be the play here. But I'm kind of split on it. I think Northwestern's a better team, so we'll pass on that game. App State and Old Dominion, this is one that I wanted to mention. The total, 5-0 to the under all time in these two when they've met. 62.5 is that total. Old Dominion lays 14.5. UCLA at Indiana. Indiana 25.5, 54.5 the total. I like Indiana here. I think UCLA's going to turn into a pumpkin eventually, and Indiana's just really, really good. So if Indiana cares at all about this game, they'll win this by 4 or 5 touchdowns. K-State at Kansas. Kansas -3, total 56.5. This series has been dead even as far as the covers go, but Kansas has not beaten Kansas State since 2008, and I don't think they beat them this time. I like the Wildcats catching 3 on the road at their rivals, the Jayhawks. Auburn at Arkansas. Arkansas -1. This game opened. Auburn -1 has flipped to Arkansas -1. 57 is the total. 5 out of the last 6 and 8 out of the last 10 in this series have gone over the total, so look out for that one. The last 6, though, for Auburn overall have stayed under. So that's some, you know, contrasting information there. So it was a pass for me in this game. Akron at Buffalo. Buffalo -9.5, total 47.5. 7 of the last 10 have stayed under in this one. That's where I'm going here. 47.5, we're going to go under. Buffalo's won 7 straight against Akron, so they've dominated this. I think they kind of squash them here and win this game pretty easily. Moving on down the card, it's Minnesota off the big win against Nebraska, catching 8.5. I actually saw some 9.5s out there, so check your number on this one. 8.5, 9, 9.5. Iowa lays at home against Minnesota. 39 is the total. 7-3 run against Minnesota ATS for Iowa. Minnesota coming off the big win. The spot says Iowa, although Iowa won a kind of an emotional game against Penn State. They didn't cover, but they did win. Slight lean to Minnesota to cover this, but the spot says Iowa. But can Iowa cover 8 or 9? I think that's hard to do when you only score, you know, 12. San Diego State at Fresno. This one's gone up a little bit towards the Aztecs. Aztecs open -1. It's now up to 3. Total 48. No play there. Illinois at Washington. Washington -4.5. Total 54. I do like this game under. I think Washington's an under team. Good ball control. I don't think they're terrible. I think Illinois is a little better on offense or defense than they are on offense. So we'll go under 54 there. BYU at Iowa State. Iowa State -2.5. The total 49. Iowa State off back-to-back losses and then a bye week. This is a spot where you would think they would come out red hot. BYU wins the Holy War last week against Utah. Tough spot for them. I do think they're the better football team here, but the spot says Iowa State, so we'll go with the Cyclones. North Carolina State at Pitt. Pitt -6.5. That opened 9.5, down to 6.5. 56.5 is the total. 3-0 ATS North Carolina State all time against Pitt. Staying away from Pitt, they make no sense to me. Alabama Crimson Tide at South Carolina Gamecocks. South Carolina, not very good. We had them last week. They're just not very good. Alabama lays 12 here. This looks like a trap. 47.5 is the total. 3 of the last 4 have went under. South Carolina is 4-0 ATS against Alabama, so that's a pass. I would say Alabama would win that easily, but you got to look into the numbers, and sometimes it's a pass is just as good as a win. Missouri at Vanderbilt. I think game day is going to be here. Vandy -2.5, 52.5 is the total. 7 of 10 in this series under. Vandy plays Texas next. Not that they're looking ahead here. Their game day's there. I like Missouri. I think they're better. Vanderbilt coming off a big win last week. A little bit of a letdown. Toledo at Washington State. Washington State -1, 46.5 is the total. Washington State's been an interesting team. They had 2 near wins on the East Coast. They almost beat Ole Miss and they almost beat Virginia. So impressive stuff by Washington State. Now they got to go all the way home. This would normally be a play against spot, but I kind of like them. I think they're pretty decent, at least when they're playing against teams like Toledo. So I'm going to go over 46.5 and a lean to the Washington State Cougars. Winding it down here on the college football portion of the card, you got Navy 15.5. A lot of steam on Navy right now. That would worry me a little bit. 62.5 is the total as they host Florida Atlantic. I like the over here. Florida Atlantic can score a little bit. But I think that that Navy, they're a little too trendy for me to play them. I would lean Navy. 62.5, we're going over there. Miami and Western Michigan, Miami, Ohio, that is, lays 1.5 at home, the total 41. They ended a 8-game skid against Western Michigan last year, so maybe a little bit of a revenge spot for Western Michigan. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Texas Tech off a bad loss, not really a bad loss, a game that they probably could have won against Arizona State is pretty good. They lay 38 at home, 56.5 is the total. K-State on deck for the Red Raiders, 7 of 10 over in this matchup. Not sure you can get the over there, but I would lean that way, the 56.5, if I had to make anything on that game. Texas Longhorns at the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Texas survives against Kentucky. We told you Kentucky would give them a game, and they almost beat them. Vandy up next to Texas, 6-1 ATS on the season for Mississippi State. They've been impressive to me. We went against them last week, even though my eyes told me that was the wrong play. The data, the trends all said play Florida. Dumb idea. Sometimes you just got to trust what you watch and what you see and think, you know, I understand this enough to know who's better. I like Mississippi State here, +7 at home. I think they have a very good chance of winning this game. Texas can't score. TCU at the Mountaineers, you can hear it right here on the Watchdog Network. So ugly last week. I thought the Mountaineers would hang in against the not very good UCF team. They were absolutely destroyed. This might be the worst Mountaineer team that I've ever seen in my life, and I'm serious. 15.5, they catch at home. 55 is the total. It's open 14 all the way up to 15.5. 8 of the last 10 under between these two. The Mountaineers have covered 8 out of 10 against TCU, but I just don't see how they can do it here. It'd be TCU or nothing, but I do like the under here. I'm not sure the Mountaineers will score. Wisconsin at Oregon. Oregon -33.5, total 44.5. Told you Wisconsin stunk. Ohio State easily exterminates them. They don't even score. Oregon, they are the real deal as far as offense goes. I like their team total over, and I like this over 44.5. Probably will cover the 33.5 too, so you might as well add that. Two ways to go about this game. My Miami Hurricanes, we told you we didn't like them against Louisville's dangerous game. Louisville's given them so many problems over the years. Awful performance by them on Friday night, a crystal ball special. But they lay 30 here at home, totals 45. If they're serious and they care, they'll beat Stanford probably by 7 or 8 touchdowns in this game. Stanford off a massive win over Florida State, but I don't know if Miami will be serious. It would be Miami or nothing in that one. Boston College at Louisville. Louisville, here we go. A little bit of a dead spot for them. They lay 25.5 here at home. 55 is the total, but can you take BC? 8 out of the last 10 between these two teams have went over the total. I don't know. This seems like a letdown spot to me, but they're taking money already. 23.5 up to 25.5. Michigan and Michigan State. This one at Michigan State. Total's 48. I like the game under. Michigan lays 14.5. No way I'm laying that. They've split the last 10 ATS-wise, so we're going under in that one, too. Not very good offenses. Texas A&M at LSU. LSU +2.5 at home. Total 47.5. I like LSU in this game. I think they bounce back. They're on an 8-2 run against A&M ATS. And there's 7 of the last 10 between the two have went over the total. Don't like anything on the total, but I do like LSU to bounce back. That's my best bet of the week in college football. I think they turn it around and beat a pretty phony A&M team. Tennessee at Kentucky. Kentucky had their shot at a win last week. Not going to happen this week. Tennessee lays 9.5 on the road, 54.5. They've won the last 5 in this series. And I think Kentucky is finished after last week's debacle. We'll lay it with Tennessee. I think they smashed the Wildcats. Houston at Arizona State. Arizona State 7.5. Total 46.5. Arizona State, tough spot to come in off of. They are at home, at least. That helps. But, you know, after a big win, it's hard to duplicate that 2 weeks in a row. I do lean their way. I think they're better than Houston overall, so it'd be Arizona State or pass. Colorado and Utah. Utah -13.5. The total 49.5. I think Utah gets right here. They lost the Holy War last week to BYU. They're going to come out very, very upset. They got upset by Colorado last year. So I think this is a massive revenge angle in that one. All right, flipping it over to the NFL here in our last few minutes. BLS show number 148 coming to you here on the Watchdog Network. Getting you ready for high school football tonight on the Watchdog Network. New York Giants and Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, boy. Giants catching 7, 43.5. We talked about the Giants debacle last week. This total from 40 all the way up to 43.5. 5 of the last 7 under between these two teams. If you can figure this one out, good luck, because I don't know what the mindsets of either one of these teams are going to be. I would take the Giants or nothing in this game, and I'd probably play the under in this game now that's up to 43.5 points. Chicago at Baltimore. Baltimore, will they have some players back? It looks like it. They're laying 6.5 here. The total is 50. Lamar Jackson, 24-5 against the NFC. He did practice today and yesterday, so looks like he will be a go. I would lay it with the Ravens. Bears, We were high on the Bears. We think they'll beat a lot of the OK teams, but the Ravens are going to kick it in gear at some point. Be Ravens or pass for me. Jets at Bengals. This is a game that's very interesting to me. Jets catching 6.5, total 44.5. We keep saying the Jets are going to win a game sometime, but we don't know when. Who's their quarterback going to be? It can't be Justin Fields anymore. Absolutely abysmal. We've told you that for many years. Woody Johnson, the owner, seemed perturbed. Why are you signing this guy? You guys even watched the games? The guy's awful. Jets, this is a positive. 16-3 on the road the last four seasons. That's the over on the road the last four seasons. So over 44.5 I like here. I think there'll be some points. I think the Jets will be able to, if they use Tyrod Taylor, I think they'll score a little bit on this bad Bengal defense. Cincinnati, 8-0 as to the over. 8-0 to the over. Off of a win as a division dog. So they came out with a big win as a division dog against the Steelers last week. They've been 8-0 to the over the game following that. So how about that? Cincinnati laid 2.5 to open to 6.5 now. That's way too many points. We'll take the Jets. We'll take the over in that one. Miami at Atlanta. Atlanta on an 8-0 run under against AFC opponents. So I like the under in this game. Miami's offense is a mess. 44.5 is the total. Atlanta lays 7 here, up from the opener of -5. I like the Falcons in this spot. They ran into a they're not going to win many road games, the Falcons. They'll be okay at home. They're not going to win many road games, so I'll take Atlanta, even though I don't think they're very good. I do think if you can get a touchdown or less, maybe lay it. Miami's a mess. McDaniel out the door very soon. 44.5 will go under in that one. Cleveland at New England. New England -7, total 40.5. Cleveland hasn't won in New England since 1992. Bill Belichick, ironically, was the coach of the Browns on that day. I don't know what to make of this game. I would probably play Cleveland or nothing here, but Cleveland off the win against Miami. 7 points, New England laying. I'm not sold on them. I think Drake May could struggle with this Browns defense. So to me, this is a Browns play and potentially an under, but I lean Browns plus the 7. Buffalo at Carolina. Buffalo lays 7.5, another big number. 45.5 is the total. The Bills, 11-0 to the over against non-division opponents over the last 2 years. So 45.5. I think there'll be some points. I think Carolina will move the ball a little bit on them. So I like the over 45.5 in that one. San Francisco against Houston. Man, this is a perfect spot to fade San Francisco, but I got to deal with Houston, who's off another bad performance. They can't block anybody. San Francisco's D-line's a little banged up. If they can block San Francisco, they'll win this game, I think. So I lean Houston -1, total 41.5. Small lean to the under in this one. San Francisco, decent team, but just not good enough to take the next step. I lean Houston in that one. Tampa at New Orleans. Tampa -4, total 46.5. Can the Bucs bounce back? 7 of the last 10 in this one have been unders, although the last two have went over. So a lot of mixed data here. Tampa, I think, would be the play here in a division game. I think they're just better than New Orleans. They continue to get healthy. They did lose Mike Evans for the season, for the most of the season at least, maybe the playoffs. But I lean Tampa to bounce back. They're still a good enough team. I think them losing two in a row won't happen very often. Tennessee at Indianapolis, huge number here. Indianapolis lays 14 at home. The total's 47, up from 44 the opener. So people are betting this one over. Indy's won the last 5 against Tennessee. I mean, I think they're going to win this game. If you have Survivor or any of those types of pools, Casualty League, whatever, this would probably be a game worth looking at. No play here. Maybe the under in the game. I'm not sure the Titans will score a whole lot. But Indianapolis, they might be a contender, at least somewhat of a contender. Not to be able to win it all, but to maybe make it to the second round of the playoffs. Dallas at Denver. Denver, again, laying points. 3.5, 50.5 here. Dallas 0-7, their last 7 against Denver. The total's up from 47 to 50.5, so some massive move there. Denver just continues to cheat death. They literally maybe could have lost every game this season. They've come back and blown. I mean, I don't trust this team at all. Dallas is hard to trust. Their defense played a little bit better last week. They get to take on Bo Nix, which is very helpful. I'll take Dallas plus the 3.5. They could win this game. And then that gets me to my best bet of the week. The Green Bay Packers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. It'll be Green Bay -3, the total 45 here. Green Bay, another team, cheats death more than any team I've seen other than Denver. Mike Tomlin, 21-7-3 ATS as a home dog. He's coming off a terrible loss to the Bengals. And, you know, he's... He's on a 7-2 run ATS at home. So everything to me points to the Steelers in this game. I think they bounce back hard. I think they win this game at the plus 135 money line. I think they win the game plus the three, of course. So we will take the Steelers plus the three at Green Bay on Sunday night. And then Washington at Kansas City. Kansas City minus 10. The total down from the opener of 50 to 48 points in this one. Kansas City, hard to pass on them right now. I don't know who's going to quarterback for Washington, who it will be, but KC team total to me will be where I was focused on this one. If you can find somewhere in the high 20s, I think they'll score 30 points in this game. I'm not sure they'll win the game or cover this 10, but I think they will score over 30 points in this game. I like what I'm seeing out of their offense. It's really starting to click. They got Rice back. They got the weapons, and I think Mahomes and the boys are ready to have a good, strong push for the second half of the season. So we'll go over Kansas City team total in that one on Monday Night Football. That concludes week number 8 in the NFL, and that's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 148. High school football's coming up next here on the Watchdog Network. You're not going to want to miss that. Wheeling Park hosting Steubenville. John Marshall at Fairfield Union, Ohio. And Wheeling Central concludes their regular season tonight, hosting Brashear. You can find all those games on WatchdogNetwork.com. We got the pregame show coming up here in the Watchdog studio right after a few messages from our wonderful sponsors. Thank you for listening to Bettors Last Stand, show number 148. Again, follow all the picks at BLS_PRP. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Enjoy the World Series and all the football action and the hockey and the basketball and the soccer and all the good stuff going on this time of year. We're getting towards Halloween. Pretty soon, before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving. So have a safe and wonderful weekend. Enjoy the games. Best of luck in your wagers, and we'll see you next week on Bettors Last Stand. Thanks for listening to the Watchdog Network. High school football coming up next.